Consider yourself normal? Then this is not the show for you. Please go somewhere else. This is WYRD. If it's getting weird, it's got to be the Weird Mountain Gals show. You're listening to Byron and Alicia, the Weird Mountain Gals.
Come in, and it's fine because there's some sort of a noise dampening thing that's on your computer, your version of Zoom, excuse me, even if it's on your phone or something, and it works really well. So, for instance, I haven't even heard a baby yet. I haven't heard anybody good. Talking behind you. It's just been you.
I am at Western Carolina University for the Appalachian Studies Association's annual conference. And I gave a paper this afternoon in the 1 o'clock session that went very, very well. And I've been meeting a lot of people, seeing some old friends, and it's just been great. And my work now is done. I turned in my paperwork because I was the convener for my session.
Ooh.
Turned in the paperwork. And there's going to be snacks in about 45 minutes, and I'm going to be eating some snacks, and I probably am going to hit the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me what was the subject of your paper?
It was called A Witch in the Woods, The Unsurprising Rise of Dark Appalachia in Popular Culture.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was very well received. They put us in not a great big room, and it filled up so fast that they found another room for us. And
put us
in a larger room. Yeah, there were about 80 people that attended that. So it was good. It was me and then two other people who were talking about Appalachian folk magic, and then two other people who were talking about Cherokee technology. And
Cherokee
that was really
technology.
Yeah, so that was all. It was all really interesting stuff. And we
that
had a good
be.
Crowd, and they loved it. And I put it on as a Facebook Live.
Yeah.
But you see anything because I started recording and just laid my phone down. So you all you see are the lights up above in the ceiling.
Well, and that's
but
okay.
I did record it. So that was good. So
yeah.
Weird Mountain Gals is here. I'm not sure where they're going to be next time. They do it annually, but we might want to even get a table and, you know, give away stickers and stuff like that.
I would love to, love to. Is it always at Western, or did
no,
you?
No, it goes all over the place. Last year it was up in Athens, Ohio, at the university up there. It
Oh.
almost always is at a university
Mm-hmm.
because they have enough room.
Oh, gotcha.
They've got, because a lot of the people here are, they are either in graduate programs or other programs, and they are doing academic papers on their subject. So there's tons and tons of things going on at the same time.
Well,
but I knew I didn't want to do anything after my class. I just needed a little downtime because, of course, I met a lot of people and shook a lot of hands and all that stuff. So now I'm just chilling out as Weird Mountain Gal in the corner at Western Carolina University.
Weird Mountain Gal in the corner.
Gal in the corner. And I've got my Weird Mountain Gal coffee mug.
Oh.
I got that with I'm repping today. I'm repping at the ASA.
Good job. That's so awesome. I'm glad. We need to be repped.
We do. We need to be repping all the time.
We should be. We should be. So do
rain
you...
is coming up, I hear.
Randy?
Rain.
Oh, rain. I was like, Randy's
rain
coming up.
What? Yeah, I hear we're about to get a bunch of rain. It's been raining a little bit. I've mostly been in the same building, so it's not been, I've not been out in the rain.
It's a little drizzly right now, and it feels cooler than it did yesterday. Do you have 2 days worth, or is today the only day in your conference?
Oh, no, there's 3.5 days worth. I was out here yesterday by about 3 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
And I did my registration, and I met up with my buddy Isaiah Green.
Yeah.
And then he and I went to the opening welcome and awards show and, oh, these are the people who died last year thing, you know.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, there was a little reception in the lobby. So
that
it's
is
good.
Just, that is so cool.
And guess who came to my talk today? Judy Rhodes.
Really?
Judy herself, Madam Judy Rhodes.
Madam Judy. That's so awesome. I bet she's looking good and very happy in her element.
She looked so happy. I didn't recognize her at first because I think the last time I saw her was right before her mama died.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Now, she looks younger. She looks relaxed. She, you know, because she doesn't have all that stress on her. But it was good to see her. She is singing a murder ballad tomorrow for one of the sessions.
Yay! Nothing like a good murder ballad.
Yeah.
Represent, Judy. Thank you.
He is here. The person I'm missing, of course, is Sheila. Sheila Kay.
Sheila Kay. I wonder if she came.
No, I don't think so. Judy said she had just seen her a couple of days ago. So I guess she's doing okay.
Okay.
You know, it's the anniversary of her sweetheart Jim's death.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of a hard time for her.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. It's, you know, we dread it. Like when there's an anniversary coming up of somebody's death, like my dad or something, we dread it for weeks ahead of time.
It's hard. It's hard.
Hey, yeah. And I appreciate the subject that you spoke about. I haven't heard your talk yet, but based on the title of it, that's another one of those things that people need to understand how it is here. And I'm glad you talked about it.
Well, the wonderful thing about this conference, and I love it every time I come, even when I have to drive very, very far. I think the farthest away I ever drove for it might have been Cincinnati.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was a long drive, but I mean, it's always a great conference. And I'm going to tell you one reason why is because everybody here sounds like us. So yeah. You walk through the hallway and everybody sounds like they're from here.
That would be
and
great.
Yeah. And it does something to me. And I'm not exactly sure what, but it kind of settles me and steadies me. It's like, oh, I'm among my home people. And,
yeah.
You know, our home people ain't always the best people to be around anyway, but it does psychologically, it feels good. And plus there's music everywhere.
Yeah.
I posted a thing this morning of just a jam, you know, the musicians, mm-hmm. two musicians got started and two more came in.
And the next thing you know, it's a music festival.
That's right. And then suddenly everybody's doing the music. So it's good.
That reminds me of the South Park episode where Cartman was, I don't know how he got this title, but he went around as if he was the Orchid Man. He had on the outfit and everything. Knock on the door and he'd say, ma'am, you know, I need to inspect your house for hippies. And he got to this old lady's house and he said, you know, crawling around. He was like, yep, I knew it. And he goes up to the attic and there's four or five of them with a guitar playing Kumbaya or whatever it was. And he was like, I knew it. And, you know, and he goes and he finds them in the walls and all of that. And she says, well, I just thought it would be fine for a couple of them for a couple of them. And he says, next thing you know, he said, there's going to be a music festival. And there was.
Hippies.
Yeah, he could have been talking about Southern folks, because wherever there's a group of Southern people, there's going to be some music, and it just never mm-hmm. fails. Never
yep.
fails. It may not be traditional Appalachian music every time, but, you know, it could be.
I'm trying to think where I was. It might have been this conference at App State, maybe. Mm-hmm. They had hired a bunch of musicians. So everywhere you went, there'd be two or three people just playing music. one person playing the banjo and somebody else singing. And just everywhere you went, they were doing that. And it's not quite like that here, but it's nice.
That'd be a good world for me. I'd love mm-hmm. that. A good world for anybody. If everywhere you went, people were sitting down and playing music. We wouldn't have a lot of time to make war if we were making that kind of music all the time.
No, we would not. We'd be doing is changing strings.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. Y'all go on without me. I've got to fix my B string.
If your B string.
My B string.
Yep. Well, speaking of, I saw Selby and them last night. We went over for practice, and you know, we don't have a drummer anymore.
Right, right.
I told you that. So it's kind of interesting. And we decided something. We decided that, why are we stressing about a drummer? As a band, we have been playing together for 18 years, and we
yes.
sound just fine without a drummer on most of it.
Yes. Yes,
so,
you do.
So we're just going to quit with the eternal search for a drummer and just go with what we've got that sounds good. So
I
I'm happy
think
with
that's
that.
A great idea.
Yeah, I'm at peace with it. I am, because drummers have been finding a drummer has been a lot of problem, because the music that we play is music for the sake of music. It's not music to show off somebody's skills or music to keep somebody entertained. And what we have found is that when you have a drummer with some talent, who's a very good drummer, they don't want to play our kind of music, because as our last drummer put it, all he's got to do is hit the twos and the fours, you know. So that's a little boring.
He was very challenged.
Yeah, he wasn't challenged enough.
Yeah.
And Oh, we're okay with that. He quit with a tech group text message. He didn't we he never said a single word to any of us until he left the practice that evening, and we all got this group text message the next day saying, "Well, I don't really want to play out. I don't really want to practice much, and this music is I want to play Modesky and Wood." And it's like, "Well, yeah, everybody does." Don't we all? So that's when we just decided last night that, we're okay. We're fine with the way we sound. And so much for that drummer. He quit us with a text message. It's like getting ghosted online with whoever you're trying to online date or something. Do you remember that term ghosted?
Yeah, people still say that.
They do, yeah. And
Yeah.
I was thinking about it
He
yesterday.
ghosted
Oh, and here's one I haven't thought about for a while, and I made a note. There's two things. One, how long has it been since you've heard of anybody with the name Calpurnia?
Nobody under the age of probably 80.
That's been a while back, and but I remember those names. And the other was a saying, and it meant you were pregnant, and that's if the rabbit died. My
Okay,
rabbit
that's
died.
right.
My rabbit died.
The
Yes.
rabbit
And
died. Golly.
I
A bun in
supposed,
the
yep. Well,
oven. He's got a bun
suppose,
in the oven.
yeah, that, but you never said pregnant. That was
Oh,
like maybe a bad
no.
word or something. You
I
never
was
say pregnant.
talking to a woman in the bathroom, of course, because women always talk to each other in the bathroom, and she was about to do a paper on suicide. And she said, it's just one of those words and nobody wants to use. And I said, isn't that, I guess it's true about every other culture too, but I know in Appalachia, there's stuff you just don't say. Even if you're talking about the subject, and most people don't want to talk about that subject, but even if you're talking about it, you don't say it, just say it out. Gosh, that'd be awful. Did you just say that? What?
Well, yes, and you did. Were you very concerned about that sort of thing when you were younger and in school and all about sounding cool?
About, oh, I thought you were meant about getting pregnant. Hell yes, I
No.
was concerned about it. I'm going to move to an even quieter place. I feel funny. I feel like one of those people that's, they don't know I'm recording a podcast, and I feel like one of those people that's just having a phone conversation so everybody else can hear them. All right, I'm back in the corner again.
You're back in the corner.
I'm in the corner.
You've put yourself
Well,
in a corner.
I put baby in the corner. And I think I can probably plug in my phone too, because I'm telling you, this place has got so many places to plug in your phone, little places in the corner where you can sit and, I don't know, study, drink coffee, all that stuff.
Little corn, that's nice, very
Yeah.
nice.
Comfortable too. I mean, this is a really, it's a pretty new building. I
It's been
don't
a
know how
while
new.
since
Yeah,
I've been
it's pretty.
to the last time I was at Western, we were delivering my sofa to a friend. I'd gotten a new couch, new living room
Yeah.
stuff, and we were taking it to my friend who works at Western. And I ended up over there for something actually on the campus. I can't remember what. But, I really like Western. I remember they used to have some really good concerts back in the day. And they
They have
had
some.
a Battle of the Bands kind of thing every year. I lived for that.
Oh,
I lived.
nice.
Yep.
Well,
I
I've seen
lived.
some good theater out here.
I don't know that I ever have. Well,
And who did I see out here? Jean Redpath.
oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard some good music out here.
Well, evidently, and I can't remember now how, but I don't know if you came in and gave a paper or what, but you were at Western a long time ago. And one of my friends, who is a friend today, remembers seeing you out there at Western.
And I can't remember.
I was out here a few, gosh, it's been many years back. They used to do a program for North Carolina public school teachers.
Yeah.
Where they paid for them to come to Western and take, what do they call the enrichment courses?
Okay.
So they paid them, they paid their way, they fed them.
Wow.
And they gave them whatever those credits, hours of credit, seat credit hours.
Wow.
CHUs, whatever those things are. Okay. I mean, it was a really good program statewide. And I guess it was different places, but I know they did it here. And I taught a couple of classes for that.
They remember. This from my friend remembers. Evidently.
That was a long time ago. That was like 15 years ago, maybe. Because they don't do that for teachers now.
They don't do anything for teachers now.
No,
I'm
they
sorry,
don't.
But I feel for teachers now. You have to actually love and have your job as a mission, you know, before. And it's still not justified the way that you get paid.
No, they're not. It's terrible.
It is. It
it's
really
terrible.
Is. There we go. It didn't take
I
long.
Knew. There we go. Well, and I have to tell you, it's been funny. I ran into my friend Rebecca Williams, who's a filmmaker out here. And when I saw her, we hugged. Oh, because I haven't seen her in months and months. And she was talking to a guy from West Virginia Public Television. And we'd done all the pleasantries of, oh, this is my friend Byron. This is so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, yeah, I was on that show Inside Appalachia. And he said, yes, of course you were. So we had, you know, that kind of polite conversation. And then I don't remember what she said that it just got me started. And she and I, for like 10 minutes, we were venting about stuff. Well, and then, you know, the thing happened to Beacon. Well, and then the thing happened with the mill in Canton. And we just went off. And I finally just turned to the man. I said, I'm really sorry. We kind of feel the same way about these things, and we don't get to talk. He said, obviously, you do not get to talk much, but yeah, it was fun.
It sounds like it.
And I got to meet the fella that interviewed me for Inside Appalachia from West Virginia Public Television. And we'd never met face to face. We'd only ever talked on the phone. So it was nice to see him. I gave him a book. I had owed him a book, and I still hadn't mailed it to him. And I just said, I owe you a book, don't I? And he said, well, I mean, and I just opened up my briefcase and said, here you go. Thanks. And the interview that I did with him was part of a series he did that has won him was been nominated for this award. So he said, you got me an award. I said, did
whoa.
I? Wonder when I'll get an award. Never. That's all right. I don't need awards.
It depends on what you want the award for, because there's not a lot to be, not a lot of awards out there for people like you.
No,
did you know that?
There's not. God, there's not, are there?
Very rarely will you find one, or if ever.
My friend Lilith Dorsey, she writes all the time. She's always got a new book coming out. And her book that's called Orishas, Goddesses, and something else, She posted yesterday on International Book Day that she found out her book has sold 30,000 copies. And I just was, I was so happy for her, because she's such a fine person and such a fine writer. And I just was so happy for her. And I thought, well, I've never had a book sell 30,000 copies. That's really good.
That is good. That's wonderful.
But hey, y'all, they are translating Small Magic, my most recent book. They're translating it into Italian. Isn't that funny?
Oh, no, that's great.
It is great. I said, oh, please, will you send me one so I can show it to my Italian class?
Yes. Well, are you still going to Italy?
No, that thing has been postponed a couple of times. The trip to Cornwall is with that same company.
Mm. Okay.
So yeah, rentadventures.com, a ramble to Cornwall. Y'all can look it up and come, because we still got a few places left.
That's going to be so wonderful.
I mean, we don't want a great big crowd, but you know, we could use two or three more people for sure. It's going to be fun. Oh my gosh, it's going to be the wildest week ever.
It sounds like it. It really does sound like it. Well,
But
so
it's expensive, it's pricey.
yeah. But it, you know what, if it's something that you want to do, a lot of people will save up
Yeah.
for this big whatever destination vacation, if you want to call it that.
Yeah,
And
or put
so,
it on a credit card.
yep.
Yeah.
People who really want to do something, they'll save for it if they really want to, and they're able to.
Well, I talked to a fellow a little while ago, Don Davis, and he is running a Appalachia to Romania trip in October.
Wow.
So they learn like the folk ways of Romania.
Wow,
And
wow,
I tell
wow.
you, I am tempted. I said, is the language a problem? Because I know I don't. I mean, I speak some German, but they probably the Romanians don't want to talk to anybody who speaks any German. He said,
No.
oh no, they have translators, young people that act as translators for them. So
Oh,
that's
wow.
good.
That is good. That sounds like an excellent trip, and because it sounds
Yeah,
interesting.
it's in October. That's the only problem.
I have a painting from an artist. I guess it was he's a street artist, or he was back then, because I bought this in 1990 something, like 97, on eBay.
Yeah.
And what it was, it's a piece of terrible art, okay? And at the time, I was somehow fascinated with terrible art, and I don't know why, but these old paintings that they would have in southern homes, and they'd have these impossible mountains and peaks and lots of crazy looking clouds and stuff like that. So I saw it, and it was a takeoff on the Beard. I think his name is Frederick Beard, and he did a famous painting, and it had some bears dancing. And so
God.
this painter had had some bears dancing, and he was trying to do that, but it was totally not realistic enough to even, I don't know how to explain it, but it was terrible art. Okay. So I paid, including shipping, I paid $31 for it. And I thought, well, I've just wasted $31, but I want to see what this is. And when it came, I thought it was going to be like eight. Or excuse me, like a rectangle, but about maybe 2 feet wide and a foot tall. But it was 6 feet wide
Oh my God.
and 4 feet tall. And so somebody had told me that if I got it, that they would frame it, pay for the framing. The framing on it cost about $300. And that was back
Oh my God.
then. That was way back then. And I ended up with this humongous piece of horrible art. So it's terrible.
Somehow
But
you want your terrible art to be controllable.
yeah. Yes. Well, there was a book at the time called The Museum of Bad Art. And I gave it to my friend Melissa. And people would say they'd find pieces of art, where somebody had drawn something and thrown it in the trash, and they'd send it to this place, and the place turned it into a museum. And for whatever reason, I was just fascinated with it. Now I've got my own piece that when I go, I can donate it to the Museum of Bad Art. And and I learned a lesson about impulse buying on eBay.
Well,
So.
that's probably a very good lesson to have learned, madam.
Yeah, I guess it was, and I guess I learned it. I don't remember any other big impulse buys on eBay, but I'm sure there have been through the years. Yeah. If I'm ever on eBay again, I had my ID stolen, and
Oh.
I got a letter from the hospital, actual Mission Hospital, HCA or whatever it is, going, hey, we just wanted to let you know that your data has been breached, and we're going to enroll you in this credit company to help out. But there you go. And so I've been keeping an eye on things. And sure enough, yesterday, no, day before yesterday, I was looking you up on the internet. I was trying to find out how your placement was going, and had you risen in the search engines? Had you dropped in the search engines?
You were just creeping on me. On the
I was creeping on you.
And just be clear what you were doing.
Yep. And I thought, well, I wonder how I'm doing. And I looked, you know, and I did a Boolean search on me, and I started seeing a bunch of my really old art, digital art that I used to do. I thought, what is this? And I click on it, and there's two sites selling my art now. And I had no idea. They've just lifted my stuff from Instagram, and they're selling it.
Oh my God, what are you going to do?
Yep. Well, that's one thing. Well, after I started looking around for other things, that's when I found out that somebody stole my ID on eBay. And I don't know what it is that they did, but whatever they did, my ID is now gone, deleted, and no possibility of getting it back. And I don't even know if I'm going to be able to have an eBay account anymore or not. Yeah, it is terrible. So I don't, and who knows what else is going to happen. I'm keeping my eye closely watching my bank accounts.
Well, I'm going to ask this lady right here. She's got snacks and I'm hungry.
Oh, well, you need to go get you some food.
No, I'm going to ask her. I'm going to ask her on the podcast. Excuse me. Where'd you get snacks?
Oh, just come out upstairs. Registration room.
Thank you. See, she's looking after me. She said,
wow.
Upstairs in the registration room.
Well, you're really sweet. You want food?
Well, why don't you and I wander upstairs?
Let's go.
We'll pick up some snacks.
Is it going to be authentic Appalachian food?
Well, it looks like she's got some popcorn.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's hope it's not authentic because it'll be really heavy food.
Well, the elevator is going down.
Oh,
so I'm gonna wait till it goes down. I'll push a button to go up because I go up one more floor. Walk up, but I don't know if I can talk and walk and carry all this crap with me that I've got.
Well, I wouldn't even try.
Talked to a young woman today.
Yeah.
Who gave me two Narcans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were you having an emergency?
No, I'm carrying it with me in case somebody else has an emergency. Oh. Thank you very much.
Okay. So she gave, I was like, why did you need a Narcan?
Well, we're going to do, here comes my elevator. We're going to do a class over at Asheville Raven and Crone. I'm supposed to be organizing it, Narcan class.
Ah.
They give you free Narcan too. So.
Well, that's very smart.
Look, we're doing a podcast right now. And with me in the elevator, quit banging down. In the elevator is my good friend Amerigo from West Virginia. We're fine. We're fine. Oh, Jesus. I leaned against it before I get in trouble. Okay, we're out. We're out of the elevator, even though we're in trouble.
We're going to be listening to Byron get kicked out now, shortly.
And it's probably too noisy here to do much else. So I think what I'm going to do is go to the corner and say a non-Appalachian goodbye and get some snacks.
Yeah, I think you should, Byron. And enjoy yourself. And thank you for sharing your time at this podcast with us, because this stuff is super interesting to me, and I know it is to everybody else too.
Well, next year, if the conference isn't too far away, we'll both go, and it'll be big fun.
I hope so. Right. Be careful driving.
I will. And you be good.
You too. We'll see you later. Bye. Hey, thank you for spending your time with us here at Weird Mountain Gals. We sure do appreciate it. You know, I know time is the most important thing we have, so I promise that if you take your time to listen to us, we'll take our time to continue to be weird. many thanks to Sunslice Records for all the help. We couldn't do it without you, Craig. Check out our social media for information, community, or a few laughs. WYRD Mountain Gals.